You ever fall asleep on your couch? It's the worst. I gotta be honest. Last two nights, woke up on my couch. No plans to do this, by the way. No desire. Nobody ever thinks to themselves, you know what, tonight, let's sleep on the couch. Sleeping on the couch, the connotation is you're in trouble. And by the way, when you wake up on the couch, you just think right away, I'm in trouble. Whatever that was, hour, two, three, it's all bad sleep. It's almost like those hours don't count. I can't get to my bed fast enough. There's only one problem. We got to stop and brush our teeth. So now I'm waking up. I'm brushing my teeth. I've got my flashlight on. I'm plugging in my phone. I'm making sure my alarm is set. When the alarm goes off, first thought, why'd you sleep on the couch last night? I mean, all of this, it's like, how do you start your day off wrong? Well, I'll give you a key. Sleep on the couch the night before. All of it is wasted time. All of it is wasted sleep. And so then you're waking up and you're going, what was that whole one in a million talk? You're groggy. You're kind of like, my neck hurts. I'm looking for my Theragun. It's 6 a.m. I'm looking for a Theragun. You ever try to look for a Theragun at 6 a.m? You can find your toothbrush faster than that. So here I am. I'm trying to record a pod today and my neck is all out of whack. My pets' heads are falling off. This is just that John Denver. Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of, I want you to say it, you say it, Leadership Leaning. I heard you. We're leaning into the subject of leadership together. We're just a nation. That's all we are. We're just a nation trying to get better. A bunch of leaders trying to improve, trying to fulfill our promise of progress. Thank you to every person, all of the leaders out there that share the pod. How does a pod grow? How did Joe Rogan grow? The Rogan Nation spread it like wildfire. Thank you to everybody that's getting the Leadership Leaning out. We are jumping in today. It's a historic pod today. I got to be honest. We have never had, maybe outside of Julia, we've never had a guest on for a record third time. This is a third guest appearance. Third time on Leadership Lean-In. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, never had it before. We are going all the way back up to the Bel Air Presbyterian Church, and we had a riveting conversation with, I love when people use this line, my good friend. When people call me their good friend, sometimes I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that we're good friends. I knew we were friends, but now you've qualified it as good friendship. We're going to be jumping in with I can't call this guy a good friend. Rich Wilkerson Jr., the one and only, straight out of Dade County, Miami's finest, the ruler of South Beach. Forget Groot Hospitality, even though I love Dave Grutman. I love him because Richard loves him. Who runs Miami? This guy. Unbelievable church. Unbelievable leader. Smartest guy in the room. He's a Wilkerson. For us in Christianity, that's like being a Kennedy. We got a Kennedy on the podcast today. Let's jump into our convo with Pastor Rich Wilkerson Jr. I just want to say it's now you're here.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Thank you. I feel like you keep doing these things so much, but like not much with me.
Remember we were on a boat recently, in the last 6 months, and we're like, we need to record these kind of conversations.
Yes.
And it was like, now we're doing it with turmeric and stuff. We're doing
it with the old turmeric over here at the pastor's gathering.
We're so old.
How many episodes have you done?
This will be 111 or 112. 112. Wow. So that's great.
You just do this every week.
Once a week. But like, you know, it took me like 4 years to commit to doing it once a week. That's why we're only at 111. Is that for like 3-4 years, I was like, I had a podcast I'd record like once every 6 to 8 weeks.
When do you do it?
Tuesdays. We would do it Tuesdays.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, wow.
So you guys are already in the flow of that.
Tuesdays or Wednesdays. If I'm not feeling well, I'll do a Wednesday.
And then usually it comes out when?
Well, by the way, not feeling well is, as you know, is like I'm so tired from Sunday that I don't have any virtue really like to record something. I don't have that kind of energy to
have
be on.
Have you ever done like an episode on the pain of Monday as a pastor?
I had to do one on a Monday like 2 weeks ago, yeah. And I recorded probably the worst. It was like the most low energy moment of my life.
But I'm saying, have you ever done like a conversation around like the pain of Monday or just like the...
No, I only made some comments, but that's a great subject.
You probably should. That'd be really, really interesting.
Mondays, most Monday.
Or just, you know, usually what's funny is that Tuesday usually hits me harder.
100%.
We do like meeting Monday back in Miami, and the idea is that we're already all tired.
Yeah.
Let's not just waste our day
right.
doing nothing. Let's go in and we all feel the pain of yesterday, but let's go in and meet and get through the logistics of whatever's taking place. But man, these days I feel like Tuesday, which is my study day, it'll almost like carry over a little bit.
1000%.
And it's like, man, I'm in like physical pain.
Physically, I don't really start feeling good until about Wednesday or Thursday, physically.
I think what's a really fun conversation is like the way our body, like I talked with a counselor most Tuesdays around 2 o'clock. In fact, today it's Tuesday, and I just got a text as we were sitting in the session. I'm like, bro, I totally forgot. But he's always like, how you feeling, man? I'm like, I feel pretty good. And his next question always is, why do you feel good? And so we have to kind of go down that whole rabbit hole, you know, around our feelings. But what's interesting is that ask me any day of the week how I'm feeling, and almost like clockwork, each day has its own type of feeling, which
totally.
Is sort of interesting just to kind of develop some self-awareness around emotions, which are valid, but they're not definers. They're just indicators of what's obviously going on. But I just find that really interesting in the life of a pastor, that there's certain days that right. you probably shouldn't do certain things
yeah.
based upon the proclivity towards a certain emotion or feeling.
Totally. I call Mondays Overreaction Monday, which is a sports term that I got from football, being a football fan. Every game is played on Sunday. Yep. On Mondays, they're ready to fire the coach. It's overreaction.
Yep, very good.
That guy's never running the ball again.
Very good.
That guy's not our kicker anymore. It's an overreaction. So we see that in sports. Yep. Of course, it's going to be in our life as well. I'm going to overreact to something. I think half of leading is being of a sober mind.
Yeah.
Which I need so many people. You help me so much. I need so many people to help me get to sobriety. There's a physical reality, but there's such an emotional reality.
Yep.
Like of just getting to a place where it's like, I can see it clearly,
yep.
which is hilarious if you think about it. I can see it clearly, but my clear way of seeing things, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So even when I see it, it's wrong.
Very good.
I need to be sober enough to let you tell me what I'm wrong
very, very with. Good.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that with what we do, we put so much of ourselves into it.
Yeah.
And obviously we know lessons like this can't be your identity, but sometimes, man, that's a blurred line where it's like,
right.
Yeah, I know my message and my preaching's not my identity, but I kind of just went up there, preached my guts out, cried, wept, shouted. That felt a lot like me. And yeah. so how did that all, what do I feel like a day later or 2 days later is just a really kind of rare space that isn't worse, harder than other people's jobs. It's just a unique, kind of thing
right.
that happens for the pastor, or for the preacher.
That's right.
Which, by the way, I think even like kind of this gathering that we're at here, there's probably a lot of space to weigh into things of that.
Totally.
Notion. Just where you, all of a sudden you kind of bring it to the surface and talking about it collectively, it's always powerful to kind of discover.
Here. Yeah, I think that, and we probably will spend a lot of time talking about it, is like, I just feel like even with this event, you know, it's like, it's going to evolve into something. It's not quite all the way fleshed out yet.
What do you like about it?
I like that there's good attitude and spirit to it. There's Absolutely. there's a good like, all right, where are you gonna take us?
Yep.
We're in.
Yep.
Like we trust enough, like you know, we'll fly in or we'll come. Yep. I know I'm gonna get inspired or fed.
What do you not like about it?
It's not pragmatic yet. They're like the workshops, I'm saying that as the workshops are going on, we're recording this during the workshops. But I mean, like, I just think like our whole life has been inspire us with like a talk that's like really good, hopefully. But then like, I've seen that or I've seen you do that. I actually want to know, like, that's why I think this platform is really important.
I see what you're saying.
The conversational, like, what is Monday? What do you do Tuesday or your family or your finances or your...
What do you feel like today when you're crafting a message, right? And I think this is a fun conversation too. It's like, all right, I still have to be inspiring.
Yeah.
I still have to, you know, be dynamic, be engaging, but like, what were some things that you just want to say to them
yeah.
that you couldn't figure out how to put it into the talk because it's
yeah.
not pretty,
yeah.
it doesn't flow. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
Like, is there something pragmatic to you? Like, I want to tell you how to manage a Monday.
Yeah.
But you're like, I don't know how to make that into a sub point or a point or where to yeah. bring it up. I want to tell you how to manage the finances better. Like,
well, the overarching theme is like, I just feel like I have watched so many people say no to the burden of ministry because it's a burden.
Yep.
And it is, it's like, it's a lot. It's a bear. It's a bear on some people's shoulders. Just the weight of it, the demand. I got a kid now or three kids or fill in the blank for whatever the burden looks like for each person. Mm. And I've seen so many people just step out of the story. And I've always just kind of, you know, I think Chris even put better language to it. Like, it's a mind shift. What I was trying to say, what I want to say in the simplest form is, this is the greatest blessing. You're not going to step out and be more fulfilled. That's what I found.
Very good.
You're not going to quit and go like, I'm so glad I quit. The repercussions of that decision, I don't think people can always see. Yeah. Fast forward and see all the consequences there. So to me, it's just like, the only reason why I'm still here and same with you is like, dude, we've got tons of problems. We have tons of issues. We have tons of things we're trying to solve. But I've got the perspective to go, I'm blessed to try and solve them.
Absolutely.
So life is the attitude. I can control two things, my attitude and my input.
It's very good.
That's all I can control.
I think speaking like from a pragmatic standpoint, which is, you know, being practical and helping to try to create results. It's funny because, I mean, those things kind of shift based upon your perspective, your experience, where you're at, your age, you know, what you're seeing.
Right.
I think one of the things I'm always like, kind of like with pastors, and I'm still a young pastor, but like, I think there's definitely burnout taking place. And there's definitely guys, we don't model rest well. We don't teach rest well. All those things are absolutely true. But even from the Old Testament standpoint of the principle of Sabbath, it's work 6 days and rest one day.
Right.
And they actually have to get into that rhythm. And I think practically speaking for a lot of pastors, is that they don't understand, like, there's a lot of work. I don't think you should worship the work, but it's work. And I think people are surprised, kind of into your point, when something feels like work.
Yeah.
Or when something feels hard.
Right.
I've sort of been saying this little phrase. I like little things that just kind of got a punch to it. Hard isn't bad.
Yep.
So we're living in a time right now, if something feels hard,
it's got to be bad.
It's got to be bad.
Yep.
And that's a scary place to be at.
Yes.
Because some people are burning out, not because they lack rest. Mm. Sometimes they're burning out because they're lazy.
Yep.
Which is, rest without work is lazy.
Yep.
And sometimes if all you're doing is comparing, competing, looking over your shoulder, looking at all the other people that you think are doing it better than you,
right?
That's busy isn't working.
That's right.
There it is.
Yeah.
Busy isn't working. So just because you're busy doesn't mean you're actually working.
Right.
So it's almost like, do we understand what work looks like? Do we understand what work feels like? Do we understand that work brings fulfillment? Do we understand a good theology of work?
That
there was work before the fall.
Yeah.
There's going to be work in eternity.
Wow.
So we're not trying to do something to get out of work.
Right.
We're trying to realize that work can be hard. Work can feel like weight, but just because there's a burden doesn't mean that there's not a blessing in it. In fact, all the hardest things that you accomplish and do in life bring about the best blessings and the joy.
That's right.
So it's learning somehow to love the work.
Yeah.
It's learning to get your language around about what you're saying. You did such a good job today just teaching on that. I think for any leader, it's like, I have to do this. It's just wrong language.
Yep.
I want to do this. I get to do this.
Yep.
It sounds like so cliche and so simple, but the vernacular is so important because it's shifting the attitude and the heart of why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm.
And in everything that we do, there's seed time and harvest. And so what I'm doing today is seeds for the future. But seed in the ground is not buried. It is planted.
Yep.
Dirt comes over it. Dirt is heavy.
Right.
Dirt probably feels like a burden to that seed.
But I'm suffocated here.
You got it. But you got to let the dirt do the work.
That's it.
So if the seed has potential, the dirt has purpose.
That's exactly right.
And so let the dirt do the work. And so I think sometimes when I come to this stuff, it's like I'm trying to figure out how to say all of that.
Yeah, it's a lot to say.
But also exegete the passage to speak to the broader audience of the 500 plus pastors / leaders that are all coming from different doctrinal backgrounds.
Yeah.
How can I be practical and just kind of say that and also try to wrap it and be inspiring? And so I think that's kind of a fun conversation around like
picking
messages and how do you land on what you're supposed to say and how do you bring it?
Because at the end of the day, it's like being a parent, like to a degree. You're in this tension between encouragement. I want to encourage my guys.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to feel believed in and championed and loved and embraced, affirmed. And I want them to have the correction that's appropriate.
Beautiful.
I always feel that here in these spaces with other leaders. It's like, hey, we want to just let you know we're with you and we're for you and we're teammates. This is, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But also, like, we got to make some changes. Yep. Like, we can't just keep going the way that it's going. We're getting diminishing returns on this investment. So if we're getting diminishing returns, we're probably doing it wrong. Mm. I think I've been so inspired by PC and just spending the last, you know, few hours with him. Something he does so well that even as you acknowledge your Tuesday appointment, this guy is so good at bringing another voice into the equation. Mm. So he'll go, I'm an expert in my own opinion, but I need someone to say, you're seeing your marriage not probably the way that it should be seen. You need someone else to tell you whether it's good or bad. You need someone else to tell you your organization.
Yep.
You created all these systems because you believed in them. But someone else can come in and go, that's not sustainable or there's a better way. I just think these kind of environments, listening, why do I listen to podcasts? It's like, I can sense I'm not doing it right all the way. Mm. It's a better way to handle my money. Mm. It's a better way to parent. I need somebody, I got to invite a voice. I feel like so many people are insecure. Sure. And so they're like, I don't want anybody to get too close to actually see what's going on.
Well, it takes a great deal of humility and humility is always hard, right? To let somebody else weigh in, to be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong.
I don't want to be wrong.
I hate that feeling of being wrong. And so I think sometimes we can even shy away from something.
Yeah.
Like we're at just because I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to. It's funny how sometimes we think something's encouraging, but it's actually becomes discouraging to someone. Like, that's an interesting just dynamic of, let me come out here and see what Zoe's doing. And I leave completely depleted and discouraged. Wow. Your team.
So happy for them.
So all of that, it's like, how do we work through those things?
Yeah.
How do we build through those things? I think that we want to, going back to this gathering, I think that you want to instill values into people.
That's right.
And I think when you get values, I think like a value for you is like you're a learner.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn.
If I'm a learner, it means I don't know everything.
It's so easy.
If I don't know everything, then it takes me to a place of not being prideful, but actually being humble.
Yeah.
I don't know everything. So if I can get that value of wanting to grow. But at the very same time, it's like, I think one of the worst things happening in the church today is pragmatism, which is like, if you get results, then you're doing it right. And what are the results? The results are crowds, numbers.
Sure.
And I think that's quite a frightening, I think that things should grow we should desire things to grow.
Right.
Let me qualify that. I want things to grow.
Of course.
But maybe we only have one set of metrics.
The metrics is the issue.
Maybe all of my attendance is going down, but maybe I'm actually, for the first time in my life, actually growing in character.
Mm.
Maybe for the first time ever, people are not streaming my stuff. That's decreasing, but man, my integrity is increasing. And so, I want to grow. I want to make sure I'm saying that the right way. But I think if we're not careful, just to encourage you with what you guys are doing today, I thought what you guys brought was so helpful, but I like nuts and bolts. Maybe nuts and bolts to me maybe feel better here. And so maybe you know what I'm saying? Just because I guess my concern at 39 years of age, what I've been a part of even, it's just like, is pragmatism in the church. Oh, bro, but look how many people got saved.
Yeah, then it's got
to
be.
But the means to get there, I don't know. How many people were turned off, or was that even the right way to do that? Or what's that doing to you?
And yeah.
Those are tougher conversations.
But I think asking the question, and especially like one of my favorite lines from Furtick is, a mentor always walks through the door when a student is ready to learn. Mm. So you're always going to have the right voices in your life if you posture yourself as a learner. Like, I'm just like, tell me what I don't know. I will do anything to live right and lead right. I got to be honest here. I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to. So the desire, it starts with a desire, right? Everything starts with desire. But then like to get practical, shout out to VooCon happening in June, coming up in just about 5-6 weeks. You got to get there.
Let's go.
I feel like the breakouts and the practical sessions are unbelievable.
Okay, quick break from Leadership Lean In for our sponsors. We've got HelloFresh as a sponsor today. We love HelloFresh here at Leadership Lean In. Pastor Chad and the kids use it. Nate uses it. I use it. We love HelloFresh. It's pre-portioned ingredients that helps you save on your groceries. It's so convenient, so easy. I love it because I'm a vegetarian and there's so many options for me to just pick some meals and have them shipped right to me. But we've got a special deal for you. You can go to HelloFresh.com/lean16 and use code lean16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's a lot of free meals. So I think you should definitely do it. And it's go to HelloFresh.com/lean16 and use code lean16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. I think you should do it. It's America's number one meal kit. Back to Leadership Lean In.
I want to talk about three things real fast. Yes, number one, when I talk to you about the desire, the need for a leader to get refreshed, like what comes to mind for you? Like, how do you get refreshed? What fills your cup where you're like, man, I was Monday, Tuesday. But like, there's some things in my annual calendar or weekly calendar.
Sure.
That's like, dude, that's the stuff that fills me back up.
Yeah. Well, I think you just nailed it. I think there's things that you probably should be doing annually, weekly, daily.
Yeah.
I think there's a rhythm to rest, as we've been talking about, even with Pastor Chris in his sessions with Sabbath and things of that nature. But I do think you have to kind of, I think all of that journey for the leader is the journey of self-awareness and just continuing to grow and being honest with yourself and knowing that you're being true to what fills you up. Because what fills me up might not fill you up.
Right.
And what fills you up might not fill me up. And so, I think for me, it's always been about practices and habits. Mm. The gym, you know what I mean?
Throughout
the week, 4 or 5 days. It's just a very, very simple thing. My body is, I'm learning more and more about our soul and the layers to the soul. And it's Dallas Willard who then had, you know, the apprentice John Ortberg, who then had the apprentice John Mark Comer. And they kind of teach on the soul being this multifaceted, layered type of thing, which begins at the core, which is your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And from your heart, that's where you get things like your will, your spirit. Well, what's spirit? All the non-physical parts of who you are. That's why it's kind of funny being in LA or places like Miami. It's like, oh, I'm spiritual. Well, not everything that's spiritual is good, by the way.
Right.
So we have to, what do we mean by spirit? So like, what am I feeding my spirit? It's out of my heart. My desires. From my heart, you go to your mind, which becomes your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings. Mm. So a lot of people, it's like, you know, if you don't like the way you're feeling, check the way you're thinking.
Mm.
Because the two always go hand in hand. There's no feeling without a thought. There's no thought without a feeling. And that's why you and I can watch a scary movie and nothing scary happened in our life. But bro, I can feel frightened because my feelings attached to my thought pattern.
Mm.
But then that third layer is your body, which becomes your habits and your appetites. And what a lot of people don't understand in life is that they've got soul issues, but a big reason why they might have soul issues is that what they're doing with this body. And so habits, practices will eat willpower for breakfast.
Right.
Like willpower is really great at like, who should I marry? What college I should go to? But it's not good if it's going to come down to, should I read my Bible today? Should I worship today?
Yep.
Should I eat the DiGiorno pizza or not? I actually have to create practices and habits. And so we talk about being refreshed for me. A lot of it comes down to the disciplining of my body and reminding my body, you're not in charge, you know? And then that last layer being our relationships kind of. So Willard even kind of talks about like who I'm with, my family of origin, my family of choice. These things are impacting the shape of my soul. So when Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? He's not just solely talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about the loss of soul here on this earth, the realest part of who you are, this multifaceted, multi-layered part of you, which is heart, mind, body, relationships. And so all of those things are shaping me into something. And so when it comes to my rest, I have to kind of treat all of those things. And I do so, I think, through the word of God, through time with great people. I like art. I like things that inspire me. So that could be good films. That could be great restaurants. That could be great places. Every summer we kind of take a big long break, an extended break, turn the phone off.
Yeah.
I think comparison, these things are ripping my soul apart. It's disintegrating who I am.
So right.
My habits have kind of been the same forever, which is reading.
Yep.
I think we've talked about it a bunch on the show before, but working out and.
But I feel like, I've watched you evolve into different seasons of rest. I've seen you probably work hard for stretches and go crazy, record a TV series and launch a book, a conference. But I think that when you started adding that summer break, you started really committing to Sabbath. Like the older that you get, the more you're like, oh, rest is real.
Totally.
Because like I actually like I was on empty.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't there's nothing scarier than being in a place where you have to lead and you know you're not yourself.
Yep.
I know me. You know yourself. I love your thought on self-awareness, because when you know you, you're like, oh, this is not me. I know I'm nicer than this. I know I'm happier than this. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not as irritated. You know, so it's like, I think those are warning signs for you to go like, oh, hey, it's bigger than a day off. Mm-hmm. It is a flow. It is a, you know, it's like that seventh day of not working is a trust issue.
Yes.
It's a total, like, I think it's like the same thought as tithing, right? I'm going to tithe.
Same thought.
And I'm going to get more out of that, my 90%. I'm going to get more out of my 6 days. But I think it takes some bumps and some bruises and some crashes and some turns that you're like, I could have done that way better to learn from it.
There's that great, like, quote from that theologian. I can't remember his name, but it's like, Sabbath comes for all of us, you know? Ooh. It's like, you know. If you don't take a break, something's going to break you.
Something's going to break you.
Will be your Sabbath.
That's it.
The divorce will be your Sabbath.
That's it.
The heart disease. Isn't
that? I think that's a great thing for every leader. It's like there is no superhero cape.
Yeah.
There is just the humanity of it all.
Yeah.
Like, sure, there's talent is different. We've talked about talent. Some people have crazy talent.
Yeah.
But the humanity doesn't change.
Yep.
So gifting is different. Not everybody has the same gift, but everyone has the same human need.
Well, I used to always think too, like, that you could just go hard, rest, and then you'd be back to normal. And it doesn't work that way.
Actually,
I heard someone one time teaching that, like, you're only given so much of a battery life and you can use it all up in your 20s.
That's such a good thought right there.
Or, you know what I mean?
That's it right there.
You can spread it out. And I'm learning that more.
You spread it out.
I ran so hard in my 20s that.
I mean, just take three.
Yeah. Right, yeah, top three, right?
Just top three, top forth. Three. Yeah. Sorry.
There's a better name. You know?
So just like, those TBN years, man.
I mean, top three, by the way, was Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I think about that more and more. Like,
yeah.
It just feels like you kind of get recharged, but you don't have enough for the whole long run.
I feel like the older that I get, I still kind of look down at people that's like, you need a lot of rest.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, don't you get shy on me,
bro? That was funny. That was really funny. A little shy guy.
He was a little lion in there. He's got to come out.
Bro, that was my favorite part about that whole bit, though, is everyone else misses, is you're like, who are we talking to?
Yeah,
like,
dude. Such like, a real thought.
Yeah, but it's also the most like stereotypical masculine thing someone could ever say. Like, you just can't be in touch with, you know, like I'm not going to do this. Like, be very specific. Who am I speaking to here? Okay, like, just... I don't do poetry. I'm a man. Yeah, that's like the most.
Yeah, you know, like, there's. We actually have books in the Bible dedicated to poetry.
Totally. Just made me laugh the way you did it. But I guess I'm on this like long rant about the idea of just rest.
Yeah.
Being on, it's a soul thing. Like it's at a soul level. Mm. And I feel like that's some stuff that we could talk more and more about the soul of a leader,
yeah.
The soul of a church, and the soul of an organization, because that's the thing you're trying to figure out how to recharge, and that's what you're going to need some awareness on. Like,
yeah,
there's this idea that like sometimes it's only through nature and only looking at something beautiful that as you get inspired by looking at beauty that it fuels your soul. So like I've learned about me, I didn't know this until like the last couple of years, like getting out into nature for me. Like, so I do a wilderness week every year. Like that, the guy you knew 5 years ago, it's like, what's right?
Yeah.
I only hang out in cities, but like going to the mountain or just going to the beach or taking a walk outside, it's amazing how it refuels me and, you know, re-energizes me.
I think at the end of the day, you know, our whole pursuit is just to become the healthiest version of ourselves. That's the desire, right? It's like, I have a shot at tapping into my full potential if I'm healthy. And there's things that you could, it takes a cocktail of bad decisions to get you unhealthy, not one.
Very good.
It takes a cocktail of the right decisions to get you healthy. It's never one category.
Very good.
It's physical, spiritual, emotional, material. It's every area of your life. You're the sum total of your decisions.
Very good.
So I just think I love that idea about getting rest. I want to end with this and talking about just this isolated island, the lie. It's lonely at the top. Leadership is lonely. I was like, you're as lonely as you want to be.
Mm.
You know, you're accountable as you want to be. You're as lonely as you want to be. Something we've committed to each other is friendship, relationship. I'm going to go show up at your thing. You're going to come here to LA, vice versa.
Yeah.
We're going to go meet up in the mountains together. We're committed to our relationship. Talk to me about the way you see relationships and combating that little lie that says isolate?
Yeah. I think that that's one of those really interesting questions that you have to get a revelation that you certainly need people to last. And people are more often than not the way that God answers your prayer. More often than not, the way that God's going to answer your prayer is going to be in through the form of a relationship, you know? It's like, it's not good for man to be alone. So how does God solve that? God doesn't come down and just wrap his arms around Adam.
Yeah.
He creates a woman. He creates a partner. He creates a friendship. He creates a relationship. At the very same breath, leadership is going to be lonely at times.
That's right.
And you can't escape that. When you have a call, when you have a specific purpose, you can't expect everyone to understand that which God's burdened you for. And we didn't all go to the cross with Jesus. He had to go it alone. And there will be some crosses and some crucibles that you will go alone, that it will look like you're in the garden and everyone around you is asleep. And so you have to prepare yourself for that. But one of the best ways that you prepare yourself for that is walking in healthy, vulnerable relationship. The lie is that nobody understands me. Nobody gets what I'm going through ever. And I get angry and I resent the fact that I feel alone. And so then I stay isolated.
Right.
So isolation and solitude are two different things.
Ooh.
Isolation is this place where I have cut myself off and I'm believing the lie that no one understands me, including God himself. And isolation intensifies the pain. Solitude is the active withdrawing from the crowd, from the group, from the people to get alone with God so something on the soul level can be forged through it. But there's no doubt that whatever God's called you to, there will be moments that you have to walk through lonely seasons.
That's it.
And I used to preach a message called Incubation Through Isolation,
that
it's in those lonely moments that God has done something inside of me. It was when I was 17 years of age, called to the ministry and came back to all my partying friends who were out every Friday night and Saturday night getting high and sleeping around with girls. And I just said, I can't be around this anymore if I'm gonna live out this calling. And so at 17 years of age, I found myself with no friends around me. That was lonely. But little did I know that God was using that season to put a burden in my heart for another generation. And you'll see that pattern happen over and over and over and over again. And I think the thing that burdens you for a whole generation of leaders is going, there's some seasons that are inevitable that you're going to have to walk through it by yourself. But it's silly for you to choose and walk through. Jesus wanted all those guys in the garden with
him. Please be with me.
Yeah, come.
Yeah.
So he, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he needed them in his hour, but they failed, but he still had to persevere. And so will we, but be like Jesus, invite people into the story, because relationships, well, they make the mountaintops a lot better and they make the valleys not so bad.
That's exactly right. I've been saying a bunch, you know, Jeffrey Rockman's a good friend of yours. You've been going there forever to Jakarta Praise, JPCC. Jeez. And Julie and I were just with him in November or December. And he said, I was just blown away. As he's kind of one of those kings that you go spend time in space. You feel like the Queen of Sheba every time you go. He's just such a remarkable leader. And he said, I'm committed to three things. Stewardship, relationship, and leadership.
Very good.
He goes, I'm a good steward of everything God's given me. I'm committed to all the relationships that God has given me.
Yeah.
And I work on my leadership.
He's doing that.
And when the relationship one jumped at me, the commitment to relationship, because it's just a commitment. It's like marriage. I don't feel like being committed to pick up the laundry and do the dishes and the need to serve somebody. Yep. I think most people get relationships wrong because it's so self-serving. Yep. What's in it for me? I think if you could just turn that around and say, how do I help? How do I encourage?
Well, and then practically, where does that start? Go to somebody else's event. Show up as a celebrator. Don't just wait for the invitation.
That's it.
Go and... You know, we teach a lot about that idea about being a host versus a guest. In
That's
every
it.
Situation you walk into, you're the host.
And I think, most leaders are frustrated because they're not invited.
Totally.
And I think probably our life is the same. I'm never invited. I'm always hosting.
Yep.
And I'm happy to do it. It's not a burden.
Yep.
It's a blessing.
There we go.
To host.
There we go.
And so it's just, choose your own adventure.
Yep.
When it comes to relationships, I think the first and the most important thing.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Good. It just is.
Do you sell cars or pastor? Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. But I think that, you know, especially when it comes to the area of relationship,
yeah.
People, I think, the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't have any enemies. Not one. I don't have enemies. I refuse to have enemies. I love everyone. I was kind of making fun of that whole thought. Demas left me. Alexander the Coppersmith. Well, I can acknowledge and say that happened,
yeah.
But nobody's my enemy. I'm committed to all my relationships. The varying degrees and levels of that commitment and how it plays out and manifests change. But nevertheless, relationship.
Very good.
Choose relationship over being right. Choose relationship over anything. So at the end of the day, it's like I heard someone say recently, when you're born, you look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your decisions. And it's like at the end of the day, I want to look like the decisions of sweetness, kindness, forgiveness. Amen. Dude, that bit that he did about Youngie Cho.
Oh my gosh.
Because I hate so many. I forgive so much. So many people because I hate so many people. Dude, that bit got me. I was scared the whole time, but he delivered. But I think that really is, as far as leadership, what's hard for people in leadership? Money? Nope. Systems? Not.
Nope.
Going to the gym? Mm-mm. Day off? Absolutely not. What's the hard part? Oh, yeah. People.
Relationships. I think one of the pictures I got, it was through fatherhood, you know. It's funny, like going out to a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old's soccer game. Like, I mean, I hope, but I doubt my kids are going to be professional soccer players.
Right.
But I go out there and I lose my mind. I cheer. I feel it with them. I'm out there. I'm celebrating. And something tells me as they get older, they're going to move out of my house. They're not going to probably be professional soccer players. But I don't think I'm ever going to look back and regret the intensity, the energy, the joy,
yeah,
of the engagement, of being there for it.
Yep.
And I think leadership, that's a great picture. That sure, a lot of people are going to grow up and leave your house. A lot of people are going to grow up and not become a professional, whatever, whatever, whatever. But that shouldn't stop you from leaning into the moment.
So good.
Coaching, cheering,
yep,
celebrating. Something tells me when it's all said and done, you'll look back on some of those years and go, that was some of the best time that was some of the best times I ever had in leadership. And so I think we have to keep sowing.
Keep doing that. About. Think about this. This is a great way with this. This verse, the memory of the righteous is blessed. I keep thinking about this verse because I keep going, I want all the memories I have with people to be blessed.
Mm.
You and Terrence making Miami South Beach videos look like Miami. It's blessed. Those were the days. And we did the invite night and 2,000 young adults came on a Tuesday night and blah, blah, the memory that we had. We're not going to be together forever.
Yep.
But man, I look back on those memories. I go, wow, did we have fun? We had pizza. We was laughing. Those were the days.
Very good.
I'm loving what I'm doing right now, but I also got to acknowledge those are great.
Very good.
So that sweater you wore. Leadership Lean In. We love you. We'll see you soon.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.